This is the Folk Show at New Hampshire Public Radio.
December came with her ice and snow, and she left me with nothing but my pride. She bent me down to the ground so low, like a birch by the highway side. January made me second guess kids in t-shirts walking home from school. It was just a temporary thought at best. Come February, I was still your fool. Somewhere down south, maybe Charlottesville, that's where I wanna go. Where the water tastes like wine and the climate suits my clothes. I'm going down that lonesome road to a town where nobody knows your name. April will come, oh I know she will, though some days I ain't so sure. With her green amnesia and her daffodils, there is nothing that she cannot cure. Somewhere down south, maybe Charlottesville, that's where I wanna go. Where the water tastes like wine and the climate suits my clothes. I'm going down that lonesome road to a town where nobody knows your name. Probably don't seem like much, but we both know it's true. Of all the ways two people can fall out of love, honey, I never quit on you. No, I won't miss all this dirty snow, no, and these skies so gray. I'll pack a car and hit the pike tonight. Find some place to sleep along the way. Somewhere down south, maybe Charlottesville, that's where I wanna go. Where the water tastes like wine and the climate suits my clothes. I'm going down that lonesome road.
Guess what? We have Mark Arelli in our studio here at the Folk Show at New Hampshire Public Radio.
I sure hope so, because that's who I am.
So why in that tune do you reference Charlottesville?
You know, I kind of chose that town at random, although the person that I had in mind has a bit of a Virginia connection. But I could have done Pawtucket or anything with the right number of syllables.
Sure.
Yeah. But I liked Charlottesville the way that it sang. And then I actually got a chance to go down to Charlottesville one time and play the song. I was playing guitar for Josh Ritter, and sometimes during the set, he'll turn the mic over to me and let me play a song. And he said, you know, play Charlottesville. We're here, you know. I was like, okay, I'll play Charlottesville. And I thought that there was going to be this rousing, you know, response. But there was, you know, they liked it well enough. But after we finished playing, people came up to me and said, now, is that about this Charlottesville?
Isn't that funny?
I was like, well, I guess they didn't think I was pandering at the very least. But yes, it is about this Charlottesville.
Well, I just saw Josh Ritter the other night over at the Colonial Theater in Keene. And if it had happened in Keene, and you mentioned Keene, which doesn't have enough syllables,
no.
The crowd would have gone absolutely crazy.
Of course. So, yeah. I know. Charlottes, they were very well behaved.
You know, we were talking a while ago. We're trying to just remember when you were here. It was only a year ago.
Was it only a year ago?
It was after Mixtape.
Well, after Mixtape. There you go.
People really love that album.
Oh, thank you.
So I'm always getting comments every time I play it. People mention it on our Facebook
What is he doing to our favorite songs? These are cover songs.
No, they want to hear it again.
Oh, that's great. That's
I think one of the big favorites around here is Broke Down Palace.
Oh, yeah. Perfect. The Grateful Dead, yes.
So it's been a year since you were here last. Update us. Tell us what's been going on for Mark Morelli.
So much. Yeah, I don't mean to say like it's a bad thing. There's just been so much going on. I guess the biggest thing is that I've put out a few kind of digital-only singles in that time. And just trying to get music out, experiment with ways to get music out that's not like putting together a full record and doing all that entails, which is a lot of work. Just trying to be a little bit more nimble. So the first one that I put out was just about a year ago now, and it was a song called By Degrees, and it was a kind of a benefit for Gabby Gifford's Courage to Fight Gun Violence organization, and was able to round up a whole host of kind of pretty high-profile singers to join me. So Roseanne Cash was the first one to sign on, and Laurie McKenna and Josh Ritter and Anais Mitchell, all three of them immediately confirmed. And we had to find one more person. I was having the toughest time finding someone, and then Roseanne, I was looking for another male voice so that it would be equal. And Roseanne said, well, Sheryl Crow said that she'll do it if you want. And I was like, yeah, I want that. To heck with the guys.
It's pretty funny though when you listen to the song, you're kind of name that artist.
Yes,
you know,
it's
like,
I know.
Oh, that sounds so familiar. Who is that? So
I know.
But an all-star crew on that tune, which actually won you an Americana Award.
Well, it won me a nomination. I will say.
Well, you were up against John Prine.
I was up against some pretty stiff competition, and I had a feeling that John Prine would emerge victorious, as is probably the natural order of things. But honestly, it truly was just an honor to be nominated. I mean, in a genre like Americana, you know, they have awards for instrumentalists and they have awards for breakout artists and this and that. But like, the entire genre is founded upon the power of songs. So for me, the Song of the Year is kind of like the foundational award.
It's amazing.
And to be up for something like that and up for a song like By Degrees was really, really amazing.
I read somewhere that you said that being in the same category as John Prine was like winning the award.
Kind of like winning.
Yeah.
Not exactly, but kind of.
Yeah. Right.
It's close enough for me, I'll have to say.
Sure.
You know, I didn't get to meet him, but maybe sometime soon I can make that happen somehow.
That song's been around a while, hasn't it?
It has. It was written in 2015, and I put it out just very informally on my own, and it didn't really do much, frankly. And I always felt like I needed more voices, bigger voices with larger platforms to kind of help get it heard and get it in front of, you know, the audience that I felt like it really needed. And it turns out I was right about that.
Right. Well, you know, I love the song. I like the textures. There's so many textures in the song, which is, it kind of reminded me about By Degrees, right? About the layers and what we do go through and how complacent we get because we get comfortable with the things that are going on. And
sure.
You know, so.
Yeah,
I
the song builds, you know.
Brilliant.
It's a it's kind of at heart a very, you know, kind of folk-based ballad form, where the same music for, you know, the verses, and it's just verse. There's no big sexy chorus or anything. It's just verse after verse.
That's great, yeah.
When you do something like that, you really do have to take care to build it layer upon layer and really kind of gradually let the arrangement evolve. So
we'll let you play another song, and then we'll come back and find out what else you've been up to in the last year or so.
Let's do By Degrees. When I take a look around me, sometimes I wish I was blind. Feels like something sacred's dying, one headline at a time. I can't tear myself away, no, I just stare in disbelief. You can learn to live with anything when it happens by degrees. And I've seen every head bowed down as if lost in private prayer. I've seen the phones in every hand, seen the long and vacant stares of souls gone numb, thumbing through each ceaseless change in fee. You can learn to live with anything when it happens by degrees. Now I've seen talking heads shout back and forth across some great divide against a map of red and blue. Points of view so cut and dried, but when you look into the mirror, what color country do you see? Where you can learn to live with anything when it happens by degrees. And I've seen the flags at half-staff as the nation mourned and moaned. I've seen the stars and bars of flying proud above the State House dome for the Charleston Nine we sing. I once was blind, but now I see. We can learn to live with anything when it happens by degrees. And I've seen little hands on little shoulders, children in a line. I've seen them led away from school as the shots rang out inside. And I thought something had to change, but somehow it's become routine. We can learn to live with anything when it happens by degrees. I've seen sadness seep into my heart each day a little more. This darkness growing so familiar, I can't recall what came before. My children's faces filled with questions, looking up expectantly. And I don't know what to tell them. No, I can't bring myself to tell them that you can learn to live with anything when it happens by degrees.
Mark Arelli, By Degrees, here on the Folk Show at New Hampshire Public Radio. Let's take a short break and come back and find out what Mark's been up to. This is NHPR.
Recently on The Exchange, the head of New Hampshire's Consumer Protection Bureau discussed efforts to reduce illegal robocalls.
They are, for the most part, overseas. They spoof their phone numbers, they spoof their email addresses, they spoof their IP addresses, and we can usually identify the country that the calls are originating from. But that's about as far as we can take it.
The Exchange is your place for New Hampshire conversations. Weekday mornings live at 9 and again at 7 p.m. Only on NHPR and at nhpr.org.
Support for NHPR comes from you, our listeners, and from Capital Center for the Arts, celebrating the 60th anniversary of Bossa Nova with Brazilian musician Sergio Mendes and Bebel Gilberto, October 19th. Tickets at ccanh.com. And the Mortgage Center at St. Mary's Bank, borrower-focused and specializing in meeting the needs of all homebuyers, including first-time homebuyers and investors. stmarysbank.com. This is The Folk Show, and I'm Kate McNally, and I have the pleasure of visiting here tonight with Mark Arelli. Mark, I understand that your kind of process with songwriting has something to do with an antenna, like you feel like your mind is an antenna, is that right? And you're open to whatever images come your way. Is that still the way you're doing it these days?
Yeah, I mean, I think that feels like the most apt analogy overall. I feel like I have very little control over any of it. It's just, are you tuning in? You know, and if you're tuning in, then the songs are going to come and they'll often surprise you. But if you're not tuning in, you know, lo and behold, you're not going to feel like you're writing a lot of songs, or you're going to feel like you don't have much to say because you're not really paying attention. So just the antenna is just kind of an image to kind of really signify just paying attention all the time, being observant, you know, both inside yourself and your interior life and outside the world around you.
Talk about your most recent album that you've been working on. What did your antenna pick up when you put that down?
Well, so the newest record is one that's not even out yet. And it'll probably come out sometime next year in the spring is my hope. And that one, you know, the songs tend to be a little more rockin' on that one. For whatever reason, I think a lot of it had to do with the death of Tom Petty, actually. Tom Petty was the first artist whose record I ever bought with my own money back when I was 8. You know, I stuck with him through the tail end of LPs, and then I bought his records on cassettes and then CD, and then I was downloading them, and then now I'm back to buying them on vinyl again. So he really, more than anyone else, was the artist that I grew up with. And when we lost him, it really kind of cemented my appreciation of the way that he approached songwriting. Very simple, very direct, very catchy, and, you know, very, you know, kind of up-tempo, and just kind of easy to, take in. I'm probably more known as like a folkier kind of singer-songwriter. And I thought, man, I want a little of that Tom Petty kind of thing in my own songwriting. And so that, I feel like, really came in to play on the new record.
You got a favorite Tom Petty tune?
Oh, gosh, there's so many. I mean, you know, a newer one that I'm actually, the ones that I'm really taken with lately happen to be like among the last ones that he did. So he had a band called Mudcrutch, which was his band before the Heartbreakers, though they shared some of the same people. And Mudcrutch reformed later in his life. And the last record he made, I believe, was a Mudcrutch, the second Mudcrutch record. And it has no business being as good as it is. I mean, this was a band that nobody is clamoring for. You know, people want to hear Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers. And he plays bass in the band and sings and doesn't even sing all the songs. But it's a great record, and it's got so many wonderful songs on it. So I like it all, to tell you the truth.
I know you're a Robert Earl Keane fan, or
sure.
You were as well, like that Texas scene.
Yes. In fact, I just saw, I was in a record store in St. Louis, Missouri, and saw that they had released one of Robert Earl's A Bigger Piece of Sky record, which was where I had seen him wearing a Bill Morrissey t-shirt many years ago on the back cover. So I got to pick that one up eventually.
Are you spending a lot of time on the road these days?
A lot.
Yeah.
A lot more than I had been. When we started having kids, I kind of dialed it back a little bit as much as I could. And I dialed back a lot of my solo stuff because that's what I had control over. I can choose to go out or I can not choose to go out. But basically the sideman stuff, playing with people like Laurie McKenna and Josh Ritter, and then it kind of blossomed. Basically, it filled the vacuum. Nature abhors a vacuum, right? Mm-hmm. So when I stopped doing as much of my own stuff, I started getting calls from Laurie and Josh and people mm-hmm. like Paula Cole, and now just recently it looks like I'm going to be doing some stuff with Mark Cohen. So, you know, it's funny when you take your foot off the gas, like things kind of happen in a weird way. You feel like you have to push all the time, but then when you stop pushing, stuff tends to kind of happen for you.
I was listening to your song For a Song
mm-hmm.
where you seem to ask that question, why am I doing this, right?
Yeah, I mean, well, not so much why am I doing this, but I hope that in For a Song, it's more about I hope that the people that I love know why I'm doing this.
Right.
I know why I'm doing it, and I know that I can't really not do it. I want to do it in a way that's as minimally destructive to my personal life as possible, but there's only so much collateral damage you can kind of limit. And, you know, I miss birthdays on occasion. I try not to. Sometimes I miss sports games. And, you know, you hope that the kids understand it, and they maybe don't when they're younger. One of my kids is actually sitting right next to me here.
So much fun.
My older son, yeah. Owen. And he's getting to the point where he can understand, you know, when I'm going and when I'm coming back. But for a long time, you know, they didn't really have any conception of that. And so in For a Song, it's kind of reckoning with that price that, you know, that really that they pay. Like, I can pay it. I'm okay with that. That's part of the deal, and that's why I got into this. But for other people to have to pay it, it can seem kind of tough sometimes.
When my children were little and I did radio, they thought I was in the speaker.
Yeah.
So they were very young, but they thought, where'd she go? She's in there, right?
Yeah, I know, right? Well, now you can make the speaker literally play anything you want. It gives a little bit of a lie to that fantasy of being in the speaker. They can't all be in there.
So, Alexa, pick another Marcarelli tune.
All right, well, maybe instead of a Marcarelli song, maybe let's do a Bill Morrissey song.
Okay.
Since we're here in New Hampshire, we'll do a song from his Inside record, and I covered it on my Milltown's tribute to Bill Morrissey. It's called Long Gone. And everywhere I went, time just stood still. And in every town it all went down the same. I've been long gone. And in every dream was a dream that you still want me. In every motel room your brown eyes would just haunt me. And in every town I called out your name. Long gone, set loose again to chase another payday. Oh, if I could just hold you, I'd be okay. Tell me once again that you're still mine. There was nothing on the highway, there was nothing but the wind. And I couldn't look ahead, I could just see where I've been. From Hartford down to Tampa,
Duluth to Malibu, I ran every trick, I told many lies to get on home to you. I've been long gone, now I'm standing in the doorway of your front hall. Ain't this better than a letter or a phone call? Tell me once again that you're still mine. Let me know it's true. Let me just touch your face. Tell me you still love me one more time. I'm long gone. Hey, true love always comes as a surprise. Can you see your reflection in my eyes? Tell me you still love me one more time. Nothing on the highway, it was nothing but the wind. And I couldn't look ahead, I could just see where I've been. From Hartford down to Tampa, Duluth to Malibu, I ran every trick, I told many lies to get on home to you. I've been long gone, and those nights alone were almost too much to bear. Throw your arms around me, just keep them there. Tell me you still love me one more time. Oh, one more time.
That's Mark Arely. He recorded that tune on his Milltowns album. That's the album before the mixtape CD.
Yes.
And Bill Morrissey, certainly a big, big presence in the folk scene, and especially for you, somebody that you kind of aspired to be like, maybe.
Well, yeah, certainly the artistry, you know. I mean, I wouldn't trade my
no.
particular life for anyone,
no.
but. But yeah, his command of songwriting and of imagery and the sharpness of wit that kind of came through, and the sharpness of his intellect and his emotional kind of compass that all shone through in his songwriting. You know, I'll take that any day.
Yeah, sure. It was a little dark wit.
Yes, yeah. Yes, he had an edge to him. You know, and it scared the hell out of me when I first met him. And I was really excited to do it, but I was also just afraid, you know, like that I wouldn't, you know, pass muster with him. But as luck would have it, the first time I met him, I was opening up for him, and Cliff Eberhardt came down to the Iron Horse in Northampton. And Cliff said, this kid's all right.
Uh-huh.
And he vouched for me. And after that, you know, we became fast friends.
Well, you know, somebody that Bill Morrissey really admired was Anais Mitchell. I know you have been doing some work with her,
mm-hmm.
not only with By Degrees, but also some shows around.
Yes, yeah, I've been opening up for her some, and I've actually done some sideman work with her. I guess just one gig where I kind of crammed a bunch of her songs in my head for for this one show. But it was what a wonderful opportunity that was to just be able to kind of to get under the hood of people's songs, so to
sure.
speak, you
yeah.
know, as a sideman, you have to do that. And it's always the same way as if you were to look at the engine of some, you know, fine, you know, sports car or luxury car. You just marvel at how well and everything is put together and how beautiful it is and elegant. And I find that with, you know, with, you know, her songs, just when you get under there and look at the chord structure, there it's not as simple as you think it's going to be, but it sounds really simple. And that's incredibly hard to do. And she just makes it look easy.
I've heard you refer to yourself as a sideman many times. When do you start seeing yourself as
As the guy?
The guy.
I mean, I definitely, I do think of myself both ways. You know, I'm a Gemini, so maybe I don't have a problem with it the same way that other people do. And I don't really believe in that stuff so much, but I've been told that I'm very Gemini.
Okay.
And maybe that has something to do with that duality. You know, much the same way that I think of myself as a father and as an artist. You know, sometimes those things don't overlap so much. You know, you expect the father to be, you know, the artist to be gone, or the father to be out working and not to be, you know, these are outmoded and outdated ways of thinking, but they are persistent stereotypes that I see. And the same way that people, you know, maybe expect me to be gone, I guess, and they're shocked when it's like, well, no, I'm turning down gigs so I can be home for certain things. And it's the same way with the Sideman stuff. You know, sometimes I will put my own things to the side and accompany others because it doesn't really feel like I'm putting myself to the side. Like, the goal is to be able to speak as fluently through my instrument and through, you know, a musical contribution as it is, as I do in maybe a song that I've written. And that's a high bar, but that's the one, and I don't think I've gotten there yet, but that's the one that I'm searching for. So for me, it doesn't feel like a different thing so much. But I recognize that there are people out there that are like, well, when's your next gig?
Right.
So and I appreciate that. I'm glad people still care.
Of course they do. You know, you were talking about the new album and how it's a little louder and it's got a little bit more energy. I've seen you with lots of energy mm-hmm. in your work with people like Zach Hickman mm-hmm. and those folks in your and almost rockabilly
yeah.
and the driving bluegrass. You got any of that going on in the near
yeah,
future?
Yeah, we are actually working on a new Barnstar record momentarily here. We're about 9 songs in, and we're in the studio again next week to finish it up. And we've got 2 weeks from now. And next week we're doing a couple shows at Passim. We're going to be up here in New Hampshire at the Word Barn in Exeter in November, but it's already sold out.
Wow.
So, you
Gee,
know,
that's a luxury problem, isn't
it's
it?
It's crazy. I know that band. People seem to really, you know, really identify with that band. You know, for obvious reasons, it's an easy band to like. You
yeah.
know, it's a very thrilling.
A lot of talent in that band.
A lot of talent, mm-hmm. and it's a thrilling band to see, and a thrilling band to be in. Mm-hmm. Frankly, you know, just to be able to kind of, it's like riding a pack of wild horses or something, you know.
you're out there a whole lot more
sure.
than I am. I don't, you know, I'm here in the studio. I'm, you know, I also work during the week, so I'm not really out and about. I don't have the opportunity to be in the midst of all the talent that you're probably exposed to. What surprises have you come across in your travels lately
oh,
with
man.
People that you went, wow, who was that?
You know, the first thing that comes to mind, so I was on a cruise, one of these Kayamo music cruises, and it's basically just exactly what it sounds like, a giant cruise ship filled up with amazing musicians, and the one that I was on had Emmylou Harris and Jason Isbell and all sorts of just amazing talent, and I had never met her before, but this woman, Dori Freeman, was on the boat. And she was fantastic. And I'd heard her, you know, on the radio down in Boston a little bit. They play her. And but I'd never seen her or met her or crossed paths with her and just really loved her stuff. And she just came out with a new record that I just think is just phenomenal. So, you know, that's been one of the things that I've seen recently mm-hmm. that I just loved, that I, you know, I had to go to a boat in the middle of the Caribbean to see it, but we crossed paths eventually.
There must be other ways to get music.
Yes. Well, I don't know. That's a pretty good one. I mean, if someone wants to put me on a boat in the,
sure.
you know, to Jamaica to listen to music,
oh, yeah.
I will accept that challenge.
About the new album that you haven't released yet, is there a name for it yet, the one that we should be listening
well,
for?
Well, the working title is Blindsided, I think.
Okay.
That's after one of the opening track of the record. And a lot of the record kind of took me a little bit by surprise. You know, I didn't set out to make a more rockin' kind of record. And so that kind of took me by surprise a little bit, and in a good way. And that's kind of the, and the song is kind of taking that concept of being blindsided. It's kind of like a has negative connotations, but in the way that I use it in the song is in a kind of a positive way, blindsided by your love, you know. So it's kind of like you didn't see the love coming, but now this wonderful positive thing is in your life. And so just trying to flip the script a little bit. So I think the same holds for the record. So it's probably going to be called Blindsided.
Lots of surprises.
Yeah.
Do you have a home studio?
I have a little bit of a home rig. Yeah, I can do a couple channels at home, which isn't a ton for like doing a full project. Although I did pretty much all of Milltown's at home, except for a few overdubs. I do a lot of demos, and I do a lot of preparation for going to the studio. And then I'll also do a lot of overdubs for other people's records if they want me to sing a harmony or play a mandolin part or guitar part or something like that. I can do that at home easily enough. And the technology has made it a lot easier to do that.
You're listening to The Folk Show here at New Hampshire Public Radio. We're going to take another quick break, and then we're going to come back and hear another tune from Mark Arelli here at NHPR.
In the U.S., Monday is Columbus Day, or is it? Some Americans have reservations about celebrating Columbus.
We're bringing awareness that we're not going to allow someone like that to be glorified into a hero.
And more cities and states are proclaiming a new holiday instead. Why Indigenous Peoples Day is in and Columbus Day is out. On the next Morning Edition from NPR News.
Listen to Morning Edition every weekday from 5 to 9 with Rick Ganley. Just ask your smart speaker to play NHPR. You're listening to The Folk Show here at New Hampshire Public Radio. I'm Kate McNally in the studio here with Mark Arelli. Mark, can you play another tune for us?
Sure can, yeah. Let's do another one of those digital singles that I put out this year. This is a song called The Hitter. Even though it's been forever, some things bring me right back. The feel of oiled leather, the smell of fresh cut grass. A perfect sun is shining on a perfect Saturday. That's my kid out on the diamond, getting ready to play. He's been working hard all season, just trying to get a piece. The obsession's only deepened, it's all he eats and breathes and sleeps. Most nights when I get home, he's waiting out in our backyard. And he begs me, Daddy, just one more pitch, even though it's getting dark. Life's a little like a baseball game. It ain't the score, it's how you're playing. You win some, you lose some, that's a fact. No matter where you go or what you do, I'll always be proud of you. Whenever you strike out, I got your back. But you'll never forget the sound of the ball off that bat. Now we've talked about the butterflies that he gets when he's on deck. Now he's staring in the pitcher's eyes, and I'm praying he connects. He might foul a few into the stands before his time is up. To me, he looks just like a hitter who could use a little luck. Life's a little like a baseball game. It ain't the score, it's how you're playing. You win some, you lose some, that's a fact. No matter where you go or what you do, I'll always be proud of you. Whenever you strike out, I got your back. But you'll never forget the sound of the ball off that bat.
down the bottom of the fifth and a runner on second base. I slapped his back and bumped his fist as he walked up to the plate. Then I held my breath, the pitcher threw, and it all seemed so unreal to see a ball so white in the sky so blue. On its way to center field, life's a little like a baseball game. It ain't the score, it's how you're playing. You win some, you lose some, that's a fact. No matter where you go or what you do, I'll always be proud of you. Whenever you strike out, I got your back. But you'll never forget the sound of the ball off that bat. And I'll never forget the sound of the ball off that bat.
The tune is called The Hitter. You got any baseball players in your family, Mark?
I got
Marcarelli?
A couple. That one is was specifically inspired by my youngest son Caleb's first baseball season.
Oh, boy.
Which started out with him, I didn't put it in the song, but it started out with him getting line-drived in the eye by one of his teammates.
No.
In the warm-up to his first baseball game ever.
That's another song.
Yeah, and it took a long time to get him kind of feeling comfortable out there.
Sure.
But it ended up really well with a big hit, so it was quite the sports origin story.
Well, it's a great tune to play for this time of year because, well, the boys of summer, as you know,
there are
some boys.
There are some still left.
Some boys of summer out there.
Yeah.
You have a favorite team there? Owen is here with us in the studio. Do you have a favorite baseball team, Owen?
Do you have a favorite
It's
one?
Okay.
Red Sox.
You like the Red Sox?
Red Sox.
Do you have a favorite football team? Do you watch football at all?
Patriots.
So the Patriots, of course. Well, being from Medford, right?
We live in Melrose.
Oh, Melrose.
Yeah, next
being
town
from
over.
Melrose, yeah. Mass. Yeah, I guess that's kind of a given for that area of the
absolutely
the Northeast.
You kind of have to. I mean, there's the occasional Yankees hat that comes, you know, that walks into the elementary school, and I'm always thinking like, what is that kid's
parents?
What's how dare they? And I don't even care, you know.
What's next for you, Mark? You're kind of sitting on an album,
so this
finding
record,
the right time. Yeah,
this record that will be out, Blindsided, that'll be out in the spring. We did put out a single. Of a song from the record called Her Town Now that I co-wrote with Chuck Prophet. And that just came out last month. And so I figured that would be the last song that we play for you today.
Okay.
And that one is kind of very indicative of the direction of the whole record. And you can kind of hear the Petty influence on that come through loud and clear. And I figured I would enlist Owen, who's a great drummer, to kind of help me out here. He's playing kind of a makeshift percussion rig that is a tambourine on top of a aluminum foil covered binder, and he's playing it with a couple of brushes, and we've got the whole thing kind of C-clamped to a stool here in the studio.
Well,
so.
Is it okay if we take a picture of it after done and we'll put it on our Facebook group?
Yes, there you go.
That'd
perfect.
Be great.
All right, you ready?
Yep.
All right, 1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 4. The days are cold, the nights are long, the bed's still here, but her pillow's gone, and all her friends were my friends too. I lost them the day she moved. This is her town, this is her town, this is her town now. This is her town, this is her town, this is
her town now, and it makes me wonder why I stick around. Yeah, it's her town now. The walls are bare in the morning light. All my dreams were in black and white. A little bad TV would have helped me through, or some blonde on blonde. Yeah, but she took that too. This is her town, this is her town, this is her town now. This is her town, this is her town, this is her town now. And it makes me wonder why I stick around. Yeah, it's her town now. There's a stranger in our midst. It's her town now. They cross me off their list. It's her town now. Oh. This is her town, this is her town, this is her town now. This is her town, this is her town, this is her town now. And it makes me wonder why I stick around. Yeah, it's her town now. The birds are back, the hills are green. I saw her downtown, but she didn't see me.
That's Her Town Too with Mark Arelli and Son Owen on percussion. Thanks for coming in today.
Thanks for having us.
Hey, if folks want to find out where you're playing or they want to see pictures or, you know, an update,
all
where would they
stuff.
Go?
They got to go to my website.
And it is?
It is markarelli.com, and that is markerelli.com. That's the best place to go.
Okay, and be looking for singles coming out. You're going to do that some more,
absolutely,
think?
Yeah. I think the record's hopefully going to come out in March, so there'll be some more singles to follow in the new year for sure.
Sometimes I know I see Vance Gilbert, he'll put things out on Facebook. He'll do songs and he'll have them out on Facebook. Is that something that you have ever done?
That's another thing I got to do. I got to figure all this stuff
just
out.
One more thing.
Yes, I know.
Well, we're certainly glad that you took the time to come by here today. I know you're a really busy person.
Well, thanks for having us.
This is NHPR.
The Rising Stars Awards recognize outstanding young professionals and innovative companies around the state. I'm Annie Ropeek, environment and seacoast reporter at NHPR. In partnership with Stay Work Play, we're celebrating 10 years of Rising Stars Awards. We'll be at the Courier Museum in Manchester on Thursday, October 17th, with a red carpet, tasty treats, prizes, and raffles. Learn more at nhpr.org.
Support for NHPR comes from you, our listeners, and the Rooted Group, serving successful families and businesses with sophisticated planning and investment management for over 35 years at UBS Financial Services, member FINRA SIPC. And Red River Theaters presenting Judy, starring Renee Zellweger as Judy Garland, a film set in 60s London featuring some of her best-known songs. Now playing, redrivertheaters.org. This is The Folk Show at New Hampshire Public Radio. I'm Kate McNally. Glad you could hang out with us tonight.